The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chagigah has been dedicated in memory of Hacham Raful Muhaddeb ben Garaz and Marie Muhaddeb bat Jamile. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden Elyon. Amen. Dedicated by Dr. Isaac and Lily Muhaddeb. Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. Amen. Daf Bet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. David Meyer in honor of the rabbi. May the rabbi be blessed with continued success and health for 120 years. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by the Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by the Nishmat Ezra ben Tune Mazal. שנפטר בקיצור ימים ושנים, רוח השם תניחנו בגן עדן, ותהי נשמתו צלולה בצור החיים, אמן. Today's daf is being studied, רפואה שלמה, שרה בת מזל, אין לה רפנה לה, בתוך שאר חולי עמו ישראל, אמן. סייעתא דשמיא, we begin the מסכת חגיגה on daf bet, right at the beginning, the first Mishnah. Now, just as an introduction to know the background of the subject of our first Mishnah. The Torah says, Shalosh pa'amim bashana yira'e ko zikhurecha et p'nei Hashem Elohecha b'makom asher yibhar. Three times a year under the Galim, it's obligatory upon the Jews, the males, as we'll see, to go up to Yerushalayim to be seen in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. This mitzvah is called mitzvat re'iyah. The mitzvah to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Azara. Besides the mitzvah of going up, the pasuk says velo yira'u fanai rekam, that one is not allowed to go up empty-handed. You're going up to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to bring something. So there's a special korban that has to be brought by every Jew that goes up. That's called olat re'iyah. So this is the mitzvah of re'iyah, and then there's the korban olat re'iyah. So our Mishnah is going to discuss who is obligated in this mitzvah. Now, right away, Rashi sounds like from his opening comments in the first line, when the Mishnah says, "Hakol hayavim b'ri'iyah," everybody is obligated in mitzvah b'ri'iyah. Rashi says, "B'mitzvat ri'iyat kol zichurecha shetzidichim lehitraot ba'azara baregel." So Rashi, from his comments, is mashma that the discussion of the Mishnah is only on the first half of the mitzvah, to be seen in the azara. Rashi is not discussing the obligation of olat re'iyah. However, it should be noted that in the first Tosafot of the Masechet, Akol Hayavim, Rabbeinu Tam says clearly that the Mishnah is also referring to not only to be seen in the Azara, but also the discussion of the Hayuv of the Korban. And he explains that that which Rashi said only the mitzvah of re'iyah is lav davka. He says, "Umash katav shedibru al chobat re'iyah ba'azara hu mepnei she'im baze peturim kol sheken mekorban." Which means they go hand in hand. So that she's saying, if I have to go up to the azara to be seen, I have to bring a korban. If you don't have to go up, you don't bring a korban. So therefore it works in tandem. However, it should be noted that there is a Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi learns from the mitzvah of Hakel. Hakel is the mitzvah that was done once every 7 years, where all the Jewish people had to go up to Yerushalayim. So he says everybody has an obligation to go up for the Iyah. Even ladies, even the ones that our Mishnah is going to exempt, according to Yerushalmi, nobody's exempt from the mitzvah of the Iyah. Our discussion over here is only the Gaber Korban. Mm-hmm. It's clearly that the Babli, our Gemara is Cholek on this. The Babli over here is discussing the Chovah of the Iyah as well. So again, just to remember, very important Machlok in Yerushalmi and the Babli. Babli says when it comes to the Iyah, everybody's Hayav. Okay? Rashi is learning over here the discussion of the Mishnah is the Iyah. Tosfot Rabbeinu Tam says it means not only the Iyah, but Ruah Din the Korban. If you're Hayav in the Iyah, you bring a Korban, and they work hand in hand. Comes the Mishnah and begins. Hakol hayavim b're'iyah. Everybody is hayav in this mitzvah of re'iyah. Chutz, mehiresh, shoteh, v'katan. So let's go one at a time. Hiresh is somebody literally that is deaf. We will see the extent of the deafness over here, what we're talking about, who is exactly exempt. Shoteh, somebody that is not, doesn't have da'at, doesn't have sechel. Katan is a minor. Okay, that she says the common denominator between all these three, te'lav b'nei de'aninu. Bottom line, hiresh, shoteh, and katan, they all do not have sechel. That's the common denominator, they don't have the proper intellect, and therefore they're all exempt, not only from this mitzvah, from all the mitzvot. So there's just another mitzvah that they're exempt from. The tumtum v'androgynos. Well, a tumtum is somebody that is closed up. Right? He has a closed up area, so you cannot tell if he's a male or a female. So he's exempt as well. Gemara will prove to us why the tumtum is exempt from the iyah. The androgynos. Androgynos has both simanim. He has simane zachrut and simane nagbut. The nashim, ladies also are exempt. That's a simple one because the pasuk says yira'e kol zechurecha. Zechurecha is the zecharim, the males, and therefore obviously the ladies are going to be exempt from this mitzvah as well. Va'abadim she'enam mishuchrarim. That would be an eved kenani that is not freed. Now, even though an Eved Kana'ani does have a status that he must keep the mitzvot, but he's only chayav in the mitzvot that the ladies are obligated in. And therefore, so long as he's not freed, he is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Ha'higer, that is somebody that is lame, right, that cannot walk. Now, the Gemara is going to exempt him because it says Shalosh Regalim, and they play on the word Regalim, somebody that has Regalim, somebody that has legs, that's able to work, to walk. Mashaikh and the Higer, who's lame, cannot walk. Vasomeh, that's a blind person. Hole is somebody that is infirm, he's sick. Zaken is somebody that is old. Umi she'enu yachol la'alot beraglav. Well, for that matter, somebody that cannot walk with his legs. But I will explain exactly why each case has to be enumerated. And all these people over here are exempt. Now Tosfot tells us that even though it says hakol hayavim b'ri'iyah chutz, and it gives us all the exceptions, there are more exceptions besides the ones that the Mishnah enumerates. And Tosfot tells us we have a rule: en lomdim mekelalut af im katuv chutz. Which you don't learn from the rule, even if it tells you except. Which you might have thought the Mishnah is telling you except these. So when it says except, it's these and these are the only exceptions. Tosfos says no. There are other exceptions as well, as we'll see in the Gemara later on. Different industries. For example, a mekametz, that's somebody that collects dung, which we'll see why he's exempt. A bursi is somebody that's a tanner. He's also exempt. Somebody that doesn't own land, he's also exempt, and the Mishnah did not write these. So Tosfos says, why did the Mishnah leave these out? Because the difference, because these that the Mishnah enumerated are a psul in the goof, which means the person himself, he's a drogenos, he's a tumtum. These other cases, it's a psul that's away from them, which means they themselves, they're a male, and they're adults, and they should be hayav. But because he's a tanner, or he doesn't have karka, or because he's a mekametz, that's why he's patur. So the Mishnah is only discussing the pturim that are pturim be'etzim, not pturim that are chutz from themselves. That's one answer of the Tosafot. Tosafot also discusses other people that are patur. For example, a tameh is also patur from re'iyah, but Tosafot says that's obvious. The Mishnah doesn't have to tell us that a tameh is patur, because obviously he cannot go to the azarav, the Beit HaMikdash, when he is Tameh. Arel as well, Tosfot says, that would be another example. Somebody that is not circumcised is also patur. Comes the Mishnah and continues. We said in the Mishnah that a katan is exempt. A minor is exempt. What does it mean exempt? It means his father does not have an obligation, mitam chinuch, to bring him up to Yerushalayim. So now the Mishnah says, Ezu katan, which type of katan is obligated? Meaning that his father is obligated to take him up to Yerushalayim. That she says, Ezu katan, aval mikan va'ilach, afapi she'enu chayav min haTorah, hetilu hachamim al abiv v'al emo lehanecho b'mitzvot. Just from what age is it mandatory on the father to train his son to take him up to the Azara on the holiday? So the Mishnah records here a machloket. Ezu katan kol she'enu yachol lirkov al ketefav shel aviv ve'la'alot mirushalayim lahar habayit. Devre bechamay. He's so young that he can't even go on his father's shoulders from Yerushalayim to the Har HaBayit. It means his father can bring him up, let's say, till that point. Now he wants to put him on his shoulders to carry him. If he's so small or so young that he can't even go for a small distance being carried on his father's shoulders from Yerushalayim to the Har HaBayit, so Bet Shammai says he is indeed patur. Ubet Hillel omrim, kol she'eno yachol le'echoz biyado shel aviv ve'la'alot minushalayim la'Har HaBayit. But this is a different level. He's not able to walk with his father's, holding his father's hand, from Yerushalayim to the Har HaBayit. Shneimar shalosh regalim. Shalosh regalim, so that she says, Haraui la'alot beraglav hayev akatuv. He has to be able to walk from Yerushalayim to the Har HaBayit, beraglav, shalosh regalim. So that she says, Vekeban de gadol patur mena Torah, katan la bar chinuchu. So that she gives us a klal over here. That she says, since a gadol in such a state would be patur, because a gadol that cannot walk up is patur, so we have a rule. If the gadol would be patur, so a katan in a similar state, there's no obligation of chinuch. You only have to mehanech the katan in a case that if he would be older, he would be hayav. But in this case, if he would be older, he'd be patur as well. Because bottom line, he can't walk. So therefore, there's no mitzvah of chinuch. So just to remember the machloket Bet Shammai Bet Hillel, Bet Shammai says, carrying on his shoulder from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayit, that's the definition of a katan, if he cannot ride on his shoulders.
That's not raglav.
Bet Shammai doesn't hold a raglav. Bet Shammai holds on the shoulders. Bet Hillel holds from the pasuk of Shalosh Regalim, that it's the thing of walking with his father from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayit. Comes the Gemara and continues. Mishnah continues. Bet Shammai Omrim. Now we discuss how much money does a person have to spend on the Olat Re'iyah. What is the minimum amount of money that has to be spent on the Olat Re'iyah? Now it should be pointed out, there's another Korban that has to be brought on the first day of the holiday. That's called the Korban Hagigah. Hence the name of our Masechet. And therefore, we're going to discuss now what is the minimum amount of money that must be spent for the Qurban Hagigah and the Olat Re'iyah. It's Mahloket once again, Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. Bet Shammai Omrim, Hariyah Shte Chesef. The Olat Re'iyah, 2 coins. V'Hagigah Ma'a Chesef. Hagigah, 1 coin. Bet Hillel Omrim, Hariyah Ma'a Chesef, Hagigah Shte Chesef. So exact reverse of Bet Shammai. Let's read Rashi. Bet Shammai Omrim Hariyah Shte Kesef Gadol, right, an adult Habal Hiraot that comes to be seen in Yerushalayim, the Bet HaMikdash, Sarich Lavi Ola Ve'ena Pehuta Meshte Kesef, is not less than 2 silver coins. Shte Ma'ot Kesef She'en Shlish Dinar, which is a third of a dinar. A dinar is 6 ma'a, and therefore 2 ma'a is a third of a dinar. Shne Emar Velo yira'u fanai rekam. Right, you cannot come empty-handed. V'yalif b'gemara shesarich lavi ola afapi shelo netna bo Torah shi'ur. From the Torah, like we say in the Mishnah and Pe'ah, hare'ayon en ba shi'ur. The mitzvah of re'iyah is no shi'ur. However, hachamim natnu shi'ur. This is all from the Rabbanan, that they gave the shi'ur. Is it 2 ma'akesef or 1 ma'akesef? But in the Torah, korban ola en la shi'ur. V'hagiga, shalme hagiga. The korbanot of hagiga, hayavim, hayihidim, navi beregel. Right, individuals are obligated to bring on the regel. The alfina lebeshali perkin bevehagotem oto hag lashem. That's basically the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara. Hakol le'atuye mai. Well, if the Mishnah is coming along and saying everybody's hayav in the mitzvah of re'iyah, so now Hakol must be coming to include somebody. Who is the call coming to include? So the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, Le'atuye mi shechetzio eved vechetzio ben horim. It's coming to include a case like this. You have a person who's half eved, half ben horim. How do you have such a case? You have somebody that is an Eved Kana'ani, he's owned by 2 partners. One of the partners freed his Helik. The other partner did not. So now the guy, technically, half of him is free, and half of him is Eved. Because one guy didn't free him, one guy did. So he's Hatsyo Eved, Hatsyo Ben Horim. So the Deen of the Gemara, Hadush of the Gemara is that when it says everybody's obligated, it's even a guy who's a 50-50. He's half Eved, half Ben Horim. He's a Hayav to go to the mitzvah of the Iyah. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ul Rabina," but according to Rabina, the Amar, "Mishi Hatsio Eved v'Hatsio Ben Chorin Patur Min Ariyah." Rabina says, "No, that guy, the half guy, is Patur Min Ariyah." Hakol Atuyem. I said, "What is the call coming to include? You can't tell me it's coming to include according to Rabina, Mishi Hatsio Eved v'Hatsio Ben Chorin, because he holds, in fact, Mishi Hatsio Eved v'Hatsio Ben Chorin is Patur. So therefore, what is the call coming to include?" We're talking about over here a higer, somebody that was lame on day one of the holiday, and he got better, his lameness went away, and he became better on day two. And the hiddush is that what? He has to bring olat re'iyah, which means there is an opinion that holds that every single day, there's an obligation to bring olat re'iyah if you didn't bring it the day before. They learned this from the Deen of Hagigah. By Hagigah, there's a great mahloket. One rabbi holds that every single day is an obligation on its own. You didn't bring on day one? No problem. Day two is an obligation. You didn't bring on day two? Bring the Hagigah on day three. And the rabbis learned that just like Hagigah, each day is a separate obligation, so to re'iyah, each day is a separate obligation. Therefore, let's say somebody was lame on day one. No problem. He's better on day two. Bring it on day two. And that's the Hadush of the Mishnah. Hakol Hayavin Bir'iyah. What's the call coming to include? Even a guy that was lame on day one, he has to bring the Olat Riyah on day two. So the Gemara says, Haniha, this is only good. Demandamar kulam tashlumim zelazeh. This is only logical that says each day is a separate obligation. However, el aleman damar kulam tashlumin dirishon hakol la'atuyemai. But there's another shita that says no. Really, the obligation of hagigah and re'iyah, for that matter, is on day one, and all the makeups are coming as a result of day one. What's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is somebody that was exempt on day one does not have to bring a tashlumin, because all the tashlumin are coming from day one. The hayuv is Yom Rishon. Whoever is obligated on Yom Rishon, if he didn't bring on Yom Rishon, can bring on Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, because it's tashlumin the Yom Rishon. Whoever was not obligated on Yom Rishon is exempt. The hayuv was never on him, and therefore, according to that shita, a higer that was a higer on Yom Rishon is patur. Why? Because at the time of the hayuv was on him, he was patur. So there's no makeup for him. So therefore, a higer b'yom rishon chinet pashet b'yom sheni, according to the opinion that says all the tashlumina from yom rishon, he's going to be patur. So back to the question. What is the call coming to include? And don't tell me it's coming to include a case of higer b'yom rishon chinet pashet b'yom sheni, because that only fits according to one opinion. Right. That only fits according to the opinion that says each day is its own obligation. And therefore, even if a person wasn't hayav on Yom Rishon, he can bring on Yom Sheni. But if you say that it's all coming from Tashlumin de Rishon, he was patur on Yom Rishon, because the Hagir is patur on Yom Rishon. So, what is the Mishnah coming to include? Let's read that in Rashi. Hani ha leman de amar lekaman amrinam bepirkin. Later on, we're going to say sheyesh the korbanot ahag Tashlumin kol zayin. We're going to say that later on. The korbanot of the holiday have 7 day makeup. V'flegu behu oba amurai. It's machlokat amuraim. Ika leman damar tashlumin ze laze. Some are going to say that the tashlumin are each day on its own. Vika leman damar tashlumin dirishon hin. The tashlumin come from the obligation of day one. V'amnina and my benayu. The Gemara will say, what's the nafkamina? Higer biyom rishon v'nitpashe biyom sheni ika benayu. A case of a higer. Exactly our case, that was lame on day one and got better on day two. Man damar kulan tashlumin derishon, mishin etchayev berishon, velo hevi, yavi be'ahad mishari yamim. Umishi eno mechuyav, but whoever was not obligated on day one, eno sarik tashlumin. Uman damar tashlumin zelaze, kasabar achova mutelet al kol yachad mishari yamim. Every day has an obligation. Ve'lo al harishon lebado. Hilkachaf mishchik patur barishon v'nir'eh b'shindam becomes ra'uy on the second day. Hayav le'avi. V'im lo yavi bo b'yom yavi le'mahar. Doesn't bring on day two, bring on day three. So we're back to the question. What is the call coming to include? So the Gemara says, le'atuye ma'i. Hakol le'atuye ma'i. Le'atuye someh be'ahat be'enav. It's coming to include a blind man in one eye. Which means, if a person is blind in both eyes, the Mishnah clearly said, he's patur. However, if he's blind in one eye, he's hayav. Udlo ki haytana. But this is not following the opinion of the following Tana. The Tanya, we have a brighter. Yohanan ben Dahabai Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Someh be'ahat me'enav, patur min re'iya. Shne'emar, yir'eh, yira'eh. Kederech sheba lira'ot, ka lira'ot, כך בא לראות. מה לראות בשתי עיניו? אף לראות בשתי עיניו. So let's understand this דרשה of Yohanan ben Dehabai. Why he says if a person is blind in one eye, he is exempt from the mitzvah of ראייה. The pasuk says, שלוש פעמים בשנה יראה כל זכורך. Now without the נקודות, we would read that word יראה. The nekudot make it yira'e. Now what's the difference? Yira'e is to see. Yira'e. Yira'e is to be seen. So the Gemara wants to make a connection between the yira'e and the yira'e. And the Gemara wants to say like this according to Shitat Rashi, and we'll read it inside. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yir'eh. He sees the person that's coming with his two eyes. Kivyachol, God has two eyes. Like the Pasuk says, Enei Hashem, the eyes of Hashem. So just like Yir'eh, just like God sees the person with his two eyes, so do the person who's coming has to be seen by God with his two eyes. God has to see him with his two eyes. So therefore the Yira'eh is similar to the Yir'eh. And therefore we read that inside the Gemara. So me be'achat pina patum na re'iyah shlemar. Yir'eh, yira'eh. Kederek sheba lir'ot. That's like this Baruch Hu. Just like God comes to see the person, and God comes with his two eyes, kevyachon. Kak ba lira'ot. So too the person that's being seen has to be seen with his two eyes. Ma lir'ot b'shte'enav. Put in parentheses as if b'shte'enav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Af lira'ot, so too that he's being seen b'shte'enav, that he has to be seen by God with his two eyes. So therefore, if he only has one eye, he's going to be patur. So that she's the Rasha is yir'eh yira'eh. Well, let's read that in Rashi. Rashi dibur matchil. Yir'eh yira'eh. So the Agot Abach right away cues us in yir'eh ketiv. It's written yir'eh. The karinan yira'eh. But we read it yira'eh. And the Rashi is like this. Yir'eh kol zechureka et pene ha'adon demash yira'eh. The Bach, right? Yira'eh?
Yir'eh kol
zechurecha. No, that's good. Yir'eh kol zechurecha et pnei Adon. Demasho she'adam ro'eh et ha'shechina. Yira'eh kol zechurecha et pnei Adon. Masho she'adon ba l'rocha. Right. One is the man is looking, and one is God is looking at him. Hekish ha'katuv v'ri'iyat kal riyato. כדרך שבא לראותך, כך הוא בא לראות ממך. מה לראותך בשתי עיניו? Just like he comes to see you with his two eyes. אף כאן לראות מן האדם בשתי עיניו של אדם. So too when he's seen, coming to be seen in front of God, he has to be seen with his two eyes. Right. God's two eyes, the person's two eyes. And therefore, Yohanan ben Dehavai says, Someh be'ahat be'enav is patur. Oh, so we found a interpretation to our Mishnah. When the Mishnah said, Hakol hayavim b'ri'ya, let's just go review. We thought to say, you know what, Hakol hayavim b'ri'ya is coming to include, Mishi hachyo evet, hachyo ben horim. He's chayav. So no, that doesn't work. Because Ravina says, Mishi hachyo evet, hachyo ben horim is patur from ri'ya.
Right.
Oh, so it must be coming to me, higer, on Yom Rishon, and got better on Yom Sheni. Well, that only works according to the opinion that says, that it's tashlumin the Yom Rishon.
Right.
But if you say each day is a separate obligation, That only works according to the opinion that says it's a separate obligation each day. Then you'll be hayav. But if you say tashlumim be yom nishon, a hayger on yom nishon is patur. So therefore, he's been patur for the rest of the holiday. Oh, so he says, coming to include the case of sumim b'chat be'enav. Okay, good. But that's only going to according to one tana. But according to Yohanan ben Dehabai, that's not going to work out. But fine. The Mishnah could be teaching me, akol chayvim b'ri'iyah, who's it coming to include? Sumim b'chat be'enav. Not like Yohanan ben Dehabai. Now the Gemara goes back and says, "V'ibayetema le'olam kedam le'meikara." Go back to the first answer. You know what the Mishnah is coming to include? Bishihatsho eved v'hatsho ben horim. I'm going to speak it outside, and I'll read it inside to you. Which means like this: originally, the reason why Ravina said that a ben horim bishihatsho eved v'hatsho ben horim is patur. Because really that was the original opinion of Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel also held that originally.
Okay.
But after a certain point in history, Beit Hillel retracted. And Beit Hillel came to the agreement that Misha Hachio Ben Horin and Hachio Eved really is going to be Hayav in the Mitzvah B'Iyah. So that which Ravina made his statement, that was before he realized that Beit Hillel was Hozer. But once we know that Beit Hillel was Hozer, according to everybody now, Misha Hatshur Evet Hatshur Ben Horim is really going to be Hayav. And therefore,
according to Ravina.
Right, which means like this, I'll give you the history. When Ravina read Al Mishnah, one of the Pturim was an Evet, right? Avadim She'enam Meshuchlarim. Now, when it says Eved She'enu Meshuchrar, it means any type of Eved. He's Patur. I don't care if he's totally an Eved or he's partially an Eved. The Mishnah clearly was telling us an Eved She'enu Meshuchrar was Patur. That's what Ravina was Medayek. However, that line in the Mishnah was Beit Hillel's original opinion. Beit Hillel subsequently retracted, and that's why the Ben Hakadosh, when he wrote the Mishnah, he wrote Hakol to come and include even Misha Hatsho Evet Hatsho Ben Horin. So why did he keep then the original opinion? So that she gives us a rule, Umishnah Shinishnit Lo Zaza Mimkoma. Never rule. Since it was stated like that originally, Lo Zaza Mimkoma. So the Mishnah basically has a statement and a retraction. Ironically, the retraction comes first in the Mishnah. Which means when the Mishnah says a kol hayavim, it's coming to tell you even Misha Hatsho Eved and Misha Hatsho Ben Horin is hayav in Re'iyah. And that's following Beit Hillel Shita after he retracted. Like we'll see the history now that he retracted. Oh, but the end of the Mishnah says Misha Hatsho Eved me avadim she'na mishuchlarim. So Mishnah is telling us also that slaves that are not free are patur. You're right, that was Beit Hillel's opinion originally. And that's what Ravina originally held on to. But after he found out that he retracted, so therefore we can say it's according to the Kula Alma, and that's the structure of the Mishnah. And now let's see this inside. Let's read Rashi for a second. Actually, let's read the Gemara. Le'olam kedamre me'ikara. Udekakash la'achad Ravina. I had a question from Ravina that he holds that he's patur. La'kasha. Kan kemishnah rishona. Kan kemishnah harona. Mishnah rishona he held was patur. Mishnah harona he held was hayav. Look at the Rashi now. Rishona. Kodim shahazru betelel lehodot. Lehorot kedavre bet shamay. Which means there was a machlok at Betshamay Betelel, and we'll see this machlok in the Gemara immediately. Sefad matnitim, which means the end of our Mishnah diktani, chutz min ha'avadim she'enam mishuchrarim. Right, when it says, except for avadim that are not freed, de'ukma ravina b'mishchad sh'av v'hashom ben horim. Right, ravina learned that case of the Mishnah Sobari hatzi hatzi, de patur, nishnit kodim shechazru Betelel. That was said before Betelel retracted. Aval lachal shodu lebetshamay, sheyesh ad betin lachuf et adoro lashachrero. Like we're going to see now, v'havile kilu mishchurar kevar v'hayav u'mishnah shenishnit lo zaza memkoma. Which is the fact that it said that, it's before the Hazara, and the Mishnah keeps it there, lo zaza memkoma, but really there was a retraction. Now let's read where the retraction, what context did the retraction take place in. So the Gemara says, detnan, ni shehadshu evid v'hadshu ben horin. Okay, our case, you have a half. What's the case again? You have two partners. They both own a...
One freed, one...
Eved Kenani, one freed and one did not. So, Oved et Rabbo Yom Echad ve Tatsmo Yom Echad v'ne Betelil. So, Betelil says very simple. He works one day for his master, and the next day he goes free. He goes to work on Sunday, takes off on Monday. Goes to work on Tuesday, takes off on Wednesday, which means he's Hatsi Hatsi. Which means Betelil originally held that there's a concept of a Hatsi Hatsi. And therefore it's possible to be a half Eved, half Ben Orim. And therefore you'll be Patur from Ri'iyah. Because bottom line, Avadim are Patur from Ri'iyah. That's what Betelil originally held. So you see that from his Shita that says his working schedule. He works one day for his master and then the next day he takes off. So Bet Shammai Omrim. Amru Lehem Bet Shammai. So Bet Shammai comes along and says, nothing doing. Tikantem et Rabbo. So what did you do? You might have helped the master, which means the master who owns him is getting half work.
Right.
So you benefited by this halakha, the master. But you definitely did not help the Eved. Why? Lisa Shifha Inu Yachol. He can't get married, this guy. He can't marry a Shifha because part of him is a Ben Horim. And a free man cannot marry a Shifha. Okay, that's under the restriction of Lo Yiyeh Kadesh Bibnei Yisrael, which means a Jew is not allowed to get married where his relations are going to be relations of Znut. There's no Kiddushin between a freeman and a Shifha, and therefore he becomes what the Torah calls a Kadesh. Kadesh is like a Zona, and therefore the Torah cannot be a Zona. So therefore, let's see his options. He can't marry a Shifha because he has Chirut. Bat Chorin Enu Yachol,
because he's part.
He cannot marry a free girl because he's part.
Still slave.
Eved.
Right.
So therefore, he's stuck. Libtil. So maybe tell the guy, don't get married. Right. Don't get married. Impossible. V'halolo nevra olam ela lepriya v'ribya. The world was created to have children. Shneimar lo tohu b'ra'a. The world was not created for nothing. La shevet yisara, but to inhabit it. So therefore, Ela, you know what Bet Shammai says you have to do? Mepenetikun ha'olam, in order to establish the world, which means so he can have children, kofin et rabbo, you force the other owner, ve'osin oto ben horim. He has to free him. Ve'chotev lo shtar al hatsi damav. However, he lost out now. Now he has to free him. Okay, so you freed him, now he can get married, he's totally free. He can get married, he's not a half anymore, but bottom line, it costs the money now.
Right.
So the Eved has to pay back the owner for half his worth. They go to the market, they make a shulma, how much he's worth, his value, and he pays it back half his value. So what is Bet Shammai really saying? There's no case. You never have a case of Hatsi Hatsi, because every case of Hatsi Hatsi, Bet Din is going to force him to free him. No. So therefore, every case of Hatsi Hatsi really is full free.
Right, so he's Chayav.
Right. Oh, what does the end of the Braita say? Oh, Mishnah, the Hazru Betelel, Lorok Lebet Shammai. Betelel, when they heard that point, they retracted. They said, you're right.
Wow.
So therefore, Lema'aseh, everybody holds, Ben Bet Shammai, Ben Betelel, that every Eved that's Hatsi Eved, Hatsi Ben Horin, is going to be Ben Horin. And why? Because of Tikkun HaOlam. So you can get married. So therefore, we go back. Ravina, when he said Patur from Ri'iyah, because he originally held, he only heard the first name of the Betelel. The Betelel said, yeah, he works one day and he takes off one day. That means he's a FF. So he's a Eved. Eved is Patur. But then when he found out that there was a retraction, so then he said, oh, I agree, but the tracks are finished. And that's what the Hakol Hayavim Ben Yaz come to include. Bishi Hatshi Hayavit Hatshi Ben Chorin. Aye, but the Mishtas of Shukhranim HaPeturim, Mishtari Shona Lo Zaza Memkoma, but really, indeed, he is going to be Hayav, because there's no case. It's a misconception. When you say Hatshi Hatshi is Hayav, because he's not Hatshi Hatshi. Because every Hatshi Hatshi end up have to be totally free. Mm-hmm. Good. Now, a couple of questions over here. One question the Tosafot says, why don't you say
second
Tosafot, Vilimkor atzmo lo matzi kedei lisa shifha? Why don't you say, let him sell himself, his chiruch side, let him sell himself as an Eved Ivri, and now once he sells himself as an Eved Ivri again, he's totally Eved, and now be able to marry a Shifha. Tosfot says, no. Every Eved Kenani is a Ger, he's a convert. He converts before. And there's a klal that a Ger cannot be sold as an Eved Ivri. They learned this from Pisukim. So to sell himself into total Avdut is not an option. Okay, good. So that's one question. Then Tosfot has other questions. Why don't you say, let him marry his own species? Let him find a 50-50, a hatsi, meaning hatsi shifha, hatsi bat-horin, and let him get married. So Tosfot says, because it doesn't work that easy. Because when they're going to get married, we'll say that the avdut side is with the herut side, and the herut side is with the avdut side. It doesn't work that each part goes with itself. And therefore, it's not going to work. So therefore, he cannot marry a hybrid. Because it's not gonna work. So that type of kiddushin does not go either. Okay. The next Tosfot, he has some options that really this half-half would be permissible to marry a mamzeret. Should be halachically permissible to marry a mamzeret. But Tosfot says, we're not going to let him marry a mamzeret to be marbe mamzerim in the world, where he has other options. Which in this case over here, he could do something else. Now, the last part of the Tosafot is like this. We have a mitzvah aseh of lashevet yesara, to have children. Good? Now Tosafot just comments, why did the Torah, why did the Gemara choose this pasuk as opposed to Peru Urvu? And another Gemara, the Gemara does choose the pasuk of Peru Urvu. Here it chooses the pasuk of lashevet yesara, because he says that's the stronger obligation. The strong obligation is Lashevet Yitzara, that you have to populate the world. That's why I chose that case. But we have a rule that says Aseh Dohe Lo Taseh. So what's the reason why you're telling me this Hatsi Eved, Hatsi Ben Horin cannot marry a Shifha? Because you tell me Lo Yeh Kadesh. Lo Yeh Kadesh is a Lo Taseh. Lashevet Yitzara is an Aseh. Why don't I say the Aseh of Lashevet Yitzara will be Dohe the Lav of Lo Yeh Kadesh? We say aseh do aydo taaseh. So Tosfot gives an answer and he says, "Te'acha efshal lekayim shenem ayedek kefiyah." I'm not going to tell you aseh do aydo taaseh if I have a way out. Force the guy to free him, and you don't have to be over anything. Another answer, he says like this: when do we say aseh do aydo taaseh? When at the time that you're fulfilling the aseh, you're pushing away the lo taaseh. For example, mila b'tzaraat. Torah says you're not allowed to cut a tzaraat. Of a skin. Let's say a baby has a tzara'at on his milah.
Can you cut it?
He can't cut. Shaman minegin ha-tzara'at. But it's mitzvah milah. Bayom ha-shimini yimol. In that case, we say aseh dohe lo ta'aseh. Why? Because at the time of the cutting, you're fulfilling the aseh and you're pushing away the lo ta'aseh. That's the only time you say aseh dohe lo ta'aseh, when it's simultaneous. Here it's not simultaneous. Why? Because when does the person get the isur of lo yeh kadesh? At the moment of penetration. We call that ha'ara. Once already the atara penetrates, already he's hayav lo yeh kadesh. When does he fulfill lashevet yetzara? Only when he fully enters. That's what it's been evident. So therefore it's not at the same time. And therefore it's not aseh dohe lo ta'aseh, because the lo ta'aseh comes first and then it's only followed by the aseh. That's the second answer of the Tosafot. Tosafot has one last question on this piece, and he says, hold it, we have a law that says le'olam bahem ta'avodu. And what do we learn from over here? That it's asur to free an Eved Kenani. Le'olam bahem ta'avodu. So the question is, how can we go against this lo ta'aseh? She's the Torah is telling you we're not allowed to free. So how could you go against? Actually, it's an aseh. Le'olam bahem ta'avodu, that they have to work, but it's an aseh mechla lo ta'aseh, which is really telling you that you're not allowed to free them. So you have a lo ta'aseh. So what are we doing over here? So let's read that inside in the Tosafot. Look at the Tosafot, the Bura Mathil. כופים את רבו אפילו לשמואל דאמר המפקיר עבדו. Actually, the second line, והפגב דאמרינן המשחרר עבדו עובר בעשה. Actually, it's a מצוות עשה. Nihalan de le'ibad harav isura zuta velo le'ibad ha'evid isura rabba. Big hadush. We'd rather let the master commit a small sin to go against the aser in order that the servant will not commit a great sin by not having children. Now this goes against a principle that we learned in Masechet Shabbat, that en omrim la havero heta kedei sheyizkeh havero. We don't tell a person that you should make a sin in order to save your friend. The Gemara over there talks about a case where a person went on Shabbat and he took bread before Shabbat, that's on purpose, and he stuck it in the oven. Right? Now you have a chance to go save him, because if he gets baked, he's going to be already sudoraita. So you have a chance now to save him. How are you going to save him? Pull the bread out. Pulling the bread out is only sudra banan. So am I allowed on Shabbat now to go pull the bread out to save my friend? Gemara says no. What do you mean? Let me do a small sin in order to save my friend from a big sin. So you can't do that. Well, over here we're doing that. Over here you're telling the mayor, the owner, free him. What do you mean? So I say you can't free him. Doesn't matter. You make a small sin in order to make the guy, let the guy save him from the big sin of not having children. So Tosfot gives the simple chiluk. That's only talking when it's bemezid. When a guy did something bemezid, like in the case of Shabbat, the guy put the bread on purpose, I'm not going to save him. But in this case over here, it's not his fault, he's a free victim. What, did he make himself hatsi ayvet, hatsi ben horim? One guy freed him, another guy didn't. So therefore, this case he's a victim. In that case, Tosfot says, we will say that the master is able to free him, even though he's being over in asef le'olam b'hem ta'avodu, in order to alleviate the situation, to give him a chance to have periyah v'ribyah. Those are basically the points of the Tosfot team. Comes the Gemara and continues. Chutz b'heresh shoteh v'katan. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, heresh shoteh v'katan, we put them in one grouping, they are exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Ketani heresh dumiyat shoteh v'katan. The heresh that we're talking about over here is similar to a shoteh v'katan. Ma shoteh v'katan delav b'dei ne'ah, just like a shoteh v'katan, they do not have sufficient intellect. Af heresh delav bar de'ahu. So to the Heresh that we're talking about over here is somebody that does not have Di'ah. The Kamash Ma'lan, Kediknan. Heresh D'biru Hachamim Bechol Makom. The Heresh that the rabbis always talk about in the Mishnayot, She'enu Shomeya Ve'enu Medaber. That means he's a deaf mute. Because only a deaf mute is considered doesn't have Da'at. I mean, he can't hear and he can't speak. Right. That's the Heresh. Now it should be noted that, except for Megillah. That's what I was going to say. The second Megillah, when it says Heresh, obviously that Heresh is talking about somebody that can speak, right, but he cannot hear. Because otherwise, what's the question? If he can't speak, what's the question? Is Hayav in Megillah, sure, not Hayav in Megillah? Of course he can't read the Megillah. But outside of that case, whenever it says Heresh, it talks about Eno Shomeya ve'eno medaber. So the Gemara says, ha medaber ve'eno shomeya. But if he can speak, but he cannot hear. Shomeya ve'eno medaber. Or he can hear, but he cannot speak. Now the case of speaking without hearing must be that originally he was able to speak before he went deaf. He learned how to speak, and then he went deaf. That's how he was able to speak. Or he's a shomeya ve'eno medaber, but he just can't speak. Hayav. In those cases, he's hayav in the mitzvah of re'iyah. Tanina, we have a braita, leha de tanu rabbanan. Actually, we have a mishnah that supports this braita. Hamedaber ve'eno shomeya. Person that is a medaber ve'eno shomeya. He's one out of two. He speaks, but he cannot hear. Zehu heresh. Shomeya ve'eno medaber. If he's a shomeya, but he just cannot speak, zehu ilim. That's called a mute. They're both considered intellect. They have wisdom, and therefore they're hayav in the mitzvot.
Only when you don't have both.
Only when a person doesn't have both, then he's considered a shoteh v'katan. But if he has one of the two, now the Gemara is supporting it. The Gemara is proving it. You see, you have a Mishnah that says that. The Mishnah clearly says, if he's a Shomeya, but not a Medaber, or he's a Medaber, he's not a Shomeya, he's a Pikeya. He's Chayav in all the Mitzvot. Umimai, the Gemara says, the Medaber ve'eno Shomeya, zehu Heresh. How do you know that somebody that's just deaf alone is called a Hirish, and a Shomaya ve'enu medaber ze'ilim, and somebody that just can't speak is called an ilim?
Right.
So the Gemara is dechtiv. Pasuk te'ilim. Va'ani ke'hirish lo ishma, uch'ilim lo yiftach piv. Okay, pasuk. David HaMelech says, I'm like a Hirish that cannot hear, and like an ilim that cannot
speak.
Now, you might say, I can read this pasuk differently. I could read the pasuk like this. Yeah, ani kehirish lo ishma, uchilim lo yiftach piv also, which means maybe the ilim is too. Maybe ilim is not only eno shomaya, but it's adding on top and saying it cannot hear. That's why the Gemara brings the ibayet ema. The ibayet ema kedamre inche, like the people say. You know what ilim stands for? Ishtakel milule. His speech was taken away from him. Ilim. And therefore, that's why it's bringing the ibayet ema. Because from the pasuk, you could argue that maybe the ilim of the pasuk is both. Ani keheresh lo ishma uchilim lo yiftach piv, meaning also lo yiftach piv. That's why he says, no. Ilim is rashi tevot, ishtakel milule, his speech was taken away from him. So let's review now the halachot that come out of this for a second. Halachot that come out are that a heresh, that's a medaber ve'eno shomeya, or a ilim, which is a shomeya, the eno medaber, they are considered pikhim. They are chayav in all the mitzvot. Oh, so when our Mishnah said, Hakol chayavim b'riya chutz mehiresh, what type of hiresh are we talking about? Mishe'eno shomeya, ve'eno medaber, he has the deen of a shote and a katan. Comes the Gemara and says, Oh, ve'atanya. Oh, actually, medaber ve'eno shomeya, shomeya ve'eno medaber, chayav. Right, we just said in the Braita, that if he's one out of the two, it's chayav. Right. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? That, yeah, we have another braita that says, medaber veno shomeya, shomeya veno medaber patur.
Right.
If he's one out of two, he's patur from the mitzvah of the iyah. Make up your mind. So ama ravina vetima rabba hasure mechsera v'achi ketani. Which means, you have to actually say that the Mishnah is missing some words.
Our Mishnah.
And therefore you have to read the Mishnah as follows. Hakol chayavim b'ri'iyah. Ubsimha. New word. We just added a word. What's simha? There's an obligation on the holiday to bring shalme simha. This is the third Qurban we're talking about today. We're talking about olat ri'iyah. We're talking about shalme hagiga. Not shalme simha. Which means, this Qurban hagiga, what did you do with that Qurban? You ate it on the holiday. That was the meat that they ate on the holiday. When it says in simcha ila bebasar v'yayin, the basar was the korban hagiga. But let's say it's not enough. Let's say you need to supplement the korban hagiga with more meat. So they would bring additional korbanot. Those were called shalmeh simcha. They would bring a special korban shalamim, bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, some of it went on the mizbeah, and the rest they would take the meat home and eat it. So it says over here, hakol hayavim b'ri'iya ubsimcha. Chutz mehiresh amdaber ve'eno shomeya, shomeya ve'eno medaber shepatur min ha'ri'iya. Which means, really, the Mishnah is coming along to say that a heresh, that is, medaber ve'eno shomeya, or shomeya ve'eno medaber, he really is patur from ri'iya. Va'afapi shepatur min ha'ri'iya, hayav b'simha. So now already we're making differences. When we say a person is a pikeach, who's a shomeya ve'eno medaber, or medaber ve'eno shomeya, that's only in regarding to simha. He's hayav in the shalmei simha. We'll see why. But when it comes to the iyah, really, indeed he is patur. So therefore, shomeya ve'eno medaber, and the medaber ve'eno shomeya is patur from the iyah. We'll have to see why. Ve'che'eno lo shomeya ve'lo medaber. Veshote veKatan patur af min haSimcha. Oilu peturim mikol mitzvot amurot b'Torah. But if he's both, he's a shomea ve'eno medaber, medaber ve'eno shomea. He's patur of everything. Ben ri'iya, ben simcha. Tanya na me'achim ve'brayter supporters. Hakol chayavim b'ri'iya u'b'simcha. Everybody's chayav in these two mitzvot. Chutz mehiresh amdaber ve'eno shomea, shomea ve'eno medaber shepeturim min ha'ri'iya. Vafapi shepatur min ha'ri'iya, chayav b'simcha. Ve'et she'eno lo shomeya, ve'lo medaber, ve'shoteh ve'katan, פטורין אף מן השמחה, הועיל ופטורין מכל מצוות האמורות בתורה. End of peace, which means basically the Gemara is saying to answer the question the Stira is like this. We had a statement that said what? That they're pikeach lechod evrehem. They're one out of the two. Pikeach means the hayav and the mitzvot. I have a Mishnah that says the patur. Make up your mind, the hayav and the patur. So he says, you know what? The Mishnah is missing a word. Throw in the simha factor. A heresh, that's one out of the two, he's pikeach, he's hayav in simha. To bring the korban of simha.
Right.
However, in the iyah, even though normally we consider him a pikeach, even though the charesh should be hayav, hidush is, he's going to be, but hagigah will see that for the fourth question, hagigah. He's just discussing now the simha. When it comes to the iyah, he'll be patur. Now the Gemara's next question is going to be, what's the difference? Why are you telling me for simha he's hayav? If he's a pikeach, he should be hayav and everything. If he's not a pikeach, he should be patur and everything. Why? One thing is hayav and one thing is patur. But that's what the deen is. The deen is that if he's a hachio evit, hachio ben horin, in simha hayab, in ri'iyah, patur. Now, if you look at the bottom Tosfot, Tosfot does mention your point. Ve'haka ki kavad v'chayev b'simha hu hadin b'chagigah. It's including also the hagigah, Tosfot says. So in Ekanami, he's hayab in simha and hagigah, but not in Ri'iyah. Now, one last point on this piece before we continue, before we conclude. One small little Tosafot to get the clarity on it. Hamidaber ve'eno shomea zeh uchedesh. Bebereshit rabba mapikle eno medaber ve'eno shomea. Tosfot ibu lematla medaber ve'eno shomea. Tosfot says, in Bereshit Rabbah Midrash, how do we know a Eno Medaber and Eno Shomea is called a Heresh? Dichtiv, because we have a Pasuk. Mi Sam Pe Le Adam, O Mi Yasum Ilem, O Heresh. Mi Sam Pe Kai Atarvayu. Now, what is Tosafot saying over here? There's a Pasuk in the Torah that says as follows. When God was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. He said, I can't take them, I have a lisp. So Borei Olam says, what do you mean? Who gave a person the ability to speak? It's me, and therefore I will help you. Now, the Pasuk says like this. The full Pasuk is like this. The Pasuk talks about Misam Pele Adam. It also says, O Pikeyah O Iver. Pikeach or Iver is somebody that is able to see, or Iver, that's blind. So you see the Pasuk is giving opposites. Pikeach, Iver. Over here the Pasuk says, Misam Pele Adam, who gave the ability to speak, and what's the other side? O Mi Asim Elem O Cheresh. That means Cheresh must be the opposite of Pe. Oh. That must be that a Cheresh cannot speak. And obviously we know Heresh is deaf. So that's the proof that a Heresh that cannot speak and cannot hear is called a Heresh. Uh-huh. And that's what Tosfot means when he says, Misampe kai letarvayu, which means the opposite of Misampe is O Heresh or Ilim. Right, which means there's somebody that has a mouth. And then these two people don't have mouths. Now the Ilim doesn't have a mouth. That's all he doesn't have. Either. The Heresh, he also doesn't have ears, but he doesn't have a mouth. So therefore we see that the Heresh is Eno Medaber Eno Shomeya from the Pasuk that Tosafot called. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.